WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. If you're just joining us, we have a social media experiment going on through today's show. You can go to our webpage and see the exact instructions for you to track someone down, have a conversation, and report back to us by 11:45. The idea is to find one person who you don't know, who you've previously not known. The easiest way is through a friend of a friend on Facebook. Ask them what they share in terms of their personal information online and where they draw the line, have a conversation about privacy online, and report back to us about your interaction, either on our website or our Twitter feed or our Facebook group. And we'll take phone calls on this in about an hour at 11:45 this morning. It's our Tracking Digital Footprints one-day social media experiment. Track someone down using social media, someone you don't know. Have a conversation with them about privacy online, what they share, what they don't, and why. And report back to us about your interaction sometime in the next hour using Facebook or Twitter or our regular webpage, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. You can post your descriptions of your interactions. And we'll talk about all this on the air in about an hour. Right now, you may have heard that on Tuesday, New York City Community Board 1 voted to support a plan to build a mosque and Islamic center near Ground Zero. As the plans move forward, they are being met with strong emotional backlash from groups of New Yorkers who view the plan as an affront to the memory of the victims of 9/11. The plan, called the Cordoba House, includes worship space as well as an auditorium, swimming pool, restaurants, and child care facilities. Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf, who is leading the proposed center, has said that it will be an interfaith center modeled in many ways after the 92nd Street Y. Here now is Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf, the chairman of the Cordoba Initiative and the founder of the American Society for Muslim Advancement, or ASMA, and his wife, Daisy Khan, who co-founded ASMA with her husband and is currently its executive director. Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf and Daisy Khan, welcome back to WNYC, both of you. Hello.
Hello. Thank you so much, Brian. It's good to see you again. We have very fond memories of when you, you emceed an event that we hosted back in January of 2002.
That's right, with many other religious organizations from other religions participating at the Cathedral of St. John the Divine.
Absolutely correct.
It was a wonderful interfaith event. So tell us about, you know where I want you to start? Daisy, tell us about the version of Sufism that you've practiced, that you practice. I've heard it described as the most liberal version of Islam. You know, it's almost the hippie peacenik branch of Islam. Would you agree with that assessment?
Well, actually, I think the better person to explain that is Imam Faisal, because he is the spiritual leader. So I will refrain this question to him, because he would be the authority on the subject as he teaches it.
Imam Rauf?
Well, what is called Sufism is actually based upon the spiritual imperative of Islam and of every faith religion, which is to love God and to have a direct experience of the Creator. The technology, if I can use that word, or the techniques of Sufism are intended to help every human soul to achieve that particular moment of witnessing the divine. A moment that is transformative, and that's been called by transpersonal psychologists a transformative experience, where you attain a heightened state of consciousness. And as a result of this transformation, which is what we believe every prophet and every messenger taught his followers. It transforms the human being, so you become a perfected reflector of divine love and divine compassion.
Which, you know, is a theological description, but in a social and even political context, I get the sense from some Sufis that I've spoken to that this is the branch of Islam that's, you know, correct me if I'm out of line here or just incorrect, but that's almost rolling its eyes at the radical fringes of the Muslim world and saying, you know, come on, everybody, like, chill out here.
Exactly.
Yes?
Yes, indeed. I mean, you see, for example, I have known young men, for example, who, you know, as they grow up and they feel very passionate about their religiosity, when they have such an experience, when they come and be part of such a Sufi experience, a spiritual experience, they've actually described to me how their sense of radicalism and their sense of extremism just dissolves, and they just get filled with a totally different feeling towards not only their own religion but towards all of humanity, and they see reality, as we say it, with divine eyes or with God's eyes, because that's what love means or compassion means, is to be able to put yourself and to see creation through the eyes of divinity.
So, Daisy, why do you want to build this center right at Ground Zero? You know, some people are reacting to this as, the, you know, as this is a kind of, hey, in your face, America, we're putting our Islamic center right by the site of the World Trade Center attacks.
Well, Brian, you may be aware of this already, but Imam Faisal has been leading a congregation for the last 27 years in Tribeca, really only 10 blocks from Ground Zero. So we're not new to the neighborhood, but one thing that we do want to do is members of the Muslim community, want to be part of the rebuilding process, and we feel a special obligation, and it's also our way of giving back to the city, to this great city that has given us so much. So we're coming at it from the point of view of wanting to contribute to our society and to take that tragedy of 9/11 and turn it into something very peaceful and hopeful for all of us.
And what about this comparison that you've been making to the 92nd Street Y? Many of our listeners know the 92nd Street Y as a place where they go to hear, you know, all kinds of prominent authors and politicians and cultural figures, often interviewed by Leonard Lopate, among others. You know, is that the kind of thing you're trying to create there?
The Muslim community is evolving like any other faith community has evolved before us. So we are going from just a mosque-centric community to building institutions. And yes, the Muslim community does need a place where robust debate can take place, where debate between Muslims and non-Muslims and even intra-Islamic debate can take place. A center like this would be a place where forums like that could take place, as well as recreational facilities that you cannot have in just a pure mosque space, really deepening the exchange between Muslims and the general public. This is why we have modeled this center not so much the 92nd Street, but more with the JCC. And the JCC has been of great assistance to us because they know what we're trying to do as a Jewish community did before us.
My guests on WNYC are husband and wife Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf, chairman of the Cordoba Initiative and founder of the American Society for Muslim Advancement, and Daisy Khan, who co-founded the American Society for Muslim Advancement and is its current executive director. And they are Sufi Muslims working to build a cultural center right near the World Trade Center site. And this has been much in the news, the controversy over this. And listeners, what do you think? We have about 10 minutes for phone calls. Is there any reason not to, in your opinion, should the World Trade Center area be a no mosque zone, which is what some people think? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. We have some people calling in already to support the idea of this mosque and cultural center there. We do want to save some lines for any opponents of this. If this is really an affront to you and there is some very emotional backlash against this online, call up and make your case. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Meanwhile, Bernie in Oceanside, you're on WNYC. Hello, Bernie.
Hi, good morning, Brian. I would beg the people that are opponents of the mosque to step back and try and understand what this is all about. The mosque is an affront, but it's an affront to the extremist jihadist elements in the Islamic community that wanted to destroy the World Trade Center. And this is just the opposite. This is a moderate, reasonable attempt to show support and confidence in New York City and the United States to reach out to other groups. This is an effort towards peace and understanding, and the construction of this mosque is so consistent with that, and it's such an obvious effort to be a part of the community in a peaceful, nonviolent way and reach across different denominational lines. So the people who are not opposition to this, I beg them to step back and try and understand what this represents.
Bernie, thank you for your call. Imam Rauf, who do you see as your opposition, and what do you see motivating them?
Well, let me just thank the gentleman who spoke so eloquently, and in the same breath, I wish to thank all our politicians from the mayor on down and our president and the local politicians of our district for their unequivocal support to this. I think people need to know that we are the anti-terrorists. For far too long, people have said, where is the moderate voice of Islam? Here we are. And what won last Tuesday was a big major step to emphasize the common values that America and the faith of Islam, the true faith of Islam, shares. It is in our national security interest to demonstrate this voice. There are people all over the world. I have received calls from domestically, internationally. There are over 1.2, some people say 1.5 billion Muslims in the world. All of us have been victims of 9/11. My own congregation, my own faith community, was among those who perished in 9/11. We are part of the families of 9/11. The whole moderate Muslim community, which is 99.9999% of the whole Muslim world, wants to see harmony between America and the Muslim world, and they want us to do this. And the support that we have received from Muslims and non-Muslims alike has been so heartwarming. And we have reached out to the 9/11 families, of 9/11 families who are supporting us. And Clyde Huberman in today's New York Times said something very, very important, and that is the First Amendment is flourishing. He pointed out that, just around the corner from us, there are sex shops. Why is that not an affront
I read that column. Here's a little quote from Clyde Huberman. A strip joint, a porno store, and a government-run bookie operation. No one has organized demonstrations to denounce those activities nearby as defiling the memory of the men and women who died a few hundred yards away, but an Islamic center strikes a nerve for some. So here are a couple of your skeptics calling in. Richard in Tribeca, you're on WNYC. Hello, Richard. Thank you for calling.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
Good. I just have a few points, I'm one of those people who I oppose the mosque, but I don't. I'm not at all a right winger or a Tea Party activist or anything of this sort. I have a few reasons for opposing it, and my reasons are that regardless of the motivations of the Cordova Initiative, which seem on the level, I feel that a mosque in this spot can and will be used by radical Muslims for recruitment and for propaganda. And that's regardless of what their motivations are. And that's one thing that I think would be a real shame. And the other thing is, just as a local resident, I'm skeptical about the way the entire project was put together. And I think there are still serious questions about their plan and about the financing of this building and where the financing is coming from. So in two ways I oppose it, both as someone who opposes how it will be used in the Muslim world, which is not in our security interests, and as a local resident as well.
Financing potentially from radical sources, or what's your specific financing concern?
My question is just that, as I have heard, or as I've been following the story, I haven't heard any explanation as to, yes, where the money comes from to build the mosque.
All right. Daisy, yeah. Do you want to engage?
Allow me, please, to say something.
Imam, go ahead.
Brian, right after 9/11, I was invited by the FBI office in New York City to lecture, and I gave 6 lectures from the end of January, February through April to all 1,200 FBI agents. I have cooperated with the law enforcement agencies of this country and Homeland Security because the one thing that both many of us in the Muslim community, as well as in the non-Muslim community, do not want to see is to see our mosques become recruiting grounds for terrorists. We are on the same side of the table on this issue. My track record and my experience in doing this is very, very clear. And one of the committee board members who spoke up last Tuesday night used to work for the Justice Department, and he spoke very eloquently and said that he was uncertain about us. He called his contact in the Justice Department in Washington, D.C. They had us checked out for any source of terrorist financing. These people are specialists in this area. And we came out clean. They said, and he said very eloquently, that these people are the Kiwanis Club of the Muslim community. They are as mainstream as you get. If you don't work with these people, who else will you work with? Now, the fact of the matter is, we cannot eliminate religious extremism, which comes from our various faith traditions, including my own, without the cooperation of people from within that faith tradition.
All right, Richard, let me ask you one other question. Couldn't it be used just as easily as a rhetorical tool against the jihadis in the Muslim world? Because people would be able to say, hey, look, here, America allows a Muslim center to be built right by the scene of the 9/11 attacks, and there's this whole interfaith liberal thing going on there.
No, I don't think that in the Muslim world, I don't think that's the way it will be viewed. And I say that from personal experience, having spent time in the Muslim world. I don't think that they'll look upon it in that way. And my other point would be that the imams may indeed be, on the level. But he has to understand that in the wake of recent headlines in the newspaper, including the story of Anwar al-Awlaki, that Americans are quite skeptical about claims of moderation, and it's increasingly difficult, if not impossible, to tell the difference based on their expressed rhetoric. And until such time as it becomes possible to tell the difference based on something other than what is said, and again, I'm referring to the Anwar al-Awlaki story. Then, of course, people are going to be skeptical, and they have to be sensitive to that.
So all Muslims, sensitive, regardless of what they say, are kind of guilty until proven innocent. Are you saying that?
Not necessarily, no. But I am saying that oftentimes people invoke the idea of tolerance as a reason that it should be built. But I'd turn that around and say that people on the other side of the fence, including the imam and his wife, have to be tolerant of the sensitivities of people in the area and in the city of New York. Tolerance isn't a one-way street. And I see tolerance only being invoked from one side of the fence and not the other.
Richard, thank you very much for your call. And he's going to wind up being our representative for today of those who oppose the construction of this mosque and cultural center near the World Trade Center site, because we're running out of time. From our website, however, Daisy, somebody writes 2 questions about the name Cordoba. Doesn't that reference the site of battles between Spain and Islam?
No, on the contrary, it was a time when societies flourished because the 3 major faith traditions worked together. There was intellectual inquiry, sharing of knowledge, and, no society is perfect. But by and large, if you look at the years and years of coexistence there, that is the backdrop that we wanted people to remember, that in history we have been able to work together. We have created a golden age together, and we want to use that as a backdrop for what is possible for the future.
So, Imam, who will make the final decision and when?
Regarding what?
Regarding the construction of the center.
Well, we still have to embark on a capital campaign. Once we have that in place, we still have to finalize the architectural plans. What we have done so far is to engage with the local community, because we want to do something which is a community center open to all, of all faiths and none. Once we finalize that, we hope we could achieve that within the next 18 months to 3 years. And then hopefully have groundbreaking within that time frame.
And that is where we need to leave it with Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf and Daisy Khan, husband and wife, founders of the American Society for Muslim Advancement, hoping to build a cultural center and mosque near Ground Zero. Imam Rauf has had a congregation in Tribeca for more than 20 years. Thank you both very much for coming on with us.
Thank you very much, Brian.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.